Okay, so we've all been there, right? You're looking at your career and it just feels messy,
Yeah.
like this big tangled jungle, and you've got all these experts shouting different directions. It's overwhelming.
Totally. How do you possibly cut through all that noise? That's really what we wanted to tackle in this deep dive.
Yeah, how do you actually build something? Something high performing, sure, but also, fulfilling,
Yeah,
sustainable.
exactly. So we've gone through 7 really key texts on career development and management. Think books like Designing Your Life, The Squiggly Career, even classics like The 7 Habits.
Right, influential stuff.
Yeah, and we've tried to pull out the core high-impact ideas, the common threads, to give you, well, a clearer roadmap.
So this isn't just theory then. We're aiming past that initial phase, the self-discovery bit, which honestly sometimes feels like the easy part.
It often is. The real goal here is moving into application. How do you take what you know, your strengths, your energy, and actually use it?
Okay, and treat your career path like something you actively design. If you prototype it instead of just waiting for it to happen.
Precisely. Look, the confusion usually isn't about what these ideas are. It's how do you actually put them together? How do you get from, okay, I know what I like, to, right, I'm systematically using that knowledge to build something that lasts.
Okay, let's get into it. The starting point, the absolute foundation in pretty much every single framework we looked at, it always comes back to self-discovery.
Always. You have to understand your values, what energizes you, what drains you, and crucially, your core strengths.
But here's the thing, that critical point where, well, it seems like most people sort of stumble,
Yeah.
where they don't quite make the leap to high performance.
Yeah, and that's what we're calling the strengths application gap. It's fascinating because self-discovery tools, super popular, people are actually pretty good at figuring out what they're good at. Yet, the research from these sources points to this really, frankly, shocking statistic. Only about 17% of people actively go about redesigning their work, their tasks, their roles, to consistently use those strengths they've identified.
Wow, 17%. That's incredibly low.
It is. Think about the wasted potential. It's a huge amount of inefficiency, both for organizations and just, personal frustration.
Right. You might know you have the superpower, but you're spending, what, 83% of your time doing things that either drain you or just aren't your best work.
It's the very definition of professional inefficiency. And this really underlines a key point from books like Go Put Your Strengths to Work. Knowing your strengths, that's passive.
Okay.
Applying them, that needs a conscious, disciplined process. It's way beyond just sticking a label on yourself.
But hang on, what if you want to redesign things, but you feel stuck? Like your boss won't let you, or the company structure is too rigid. Do the books talk about that friction?
They do, yeah. And mostly they frame it by shifting the focus back to the individual. The idea isn't always about changing your job title overnight.
Right.
It's often more about changing how you approach your current tasks, how you manage your relationships at work, maybe how you negotiate things. But step one is getting crystal clear on what a real strength actually is,
Ah, okay.
which is where that Tsai-Jian's framework comes in. It's really helpful.
So this goes beyond just being competent at something, right? Like,
Right.
I can do spreadsheets okay, but if I dread opening Excel, that's not really a strength in this sense.
Exactly. You nailed it. So GN stands for 4 things. S is success. You actually perform the activity well. S is instinct. You find yourself drawn to it. You volunteer for it without thinking. G is growth. You learn it quickly. You get better fast when you're doing it. And N is needs you feel this genuine internal pull or need to do that activity. It feels good.
Okay, that's much clearer. Success, instinct, growth, needs.
Yeah. And if something hits all 4, that's a core strength. That's something you really need to prioritize and build around.
It's not just about skill, then. It's about that flow state,
Right.
that deep satisfaction.
Precisely.
So the big question for you listening is, you might know your strengths, but are you actively doing something about it? Are you negotiating, delegating, using job crafting to spend most of your time playing to those Tsai-Jians? Because if not.
You're choosing that frustration of the 83%. That's the hard truth.
Okay, so that's challenge number one. Get those strengths working for you. But then, as soon as you start doing that, operating in that flow.
The next big challenge pops right up. How do you keep it going? Sustainability. You can't just redline the engine constantly.
That's a perfect segue because, yeah, once you're firing on all cylinders using your strengths, burnout becomes a real risk if you're only thinking about managing your time.
Right.
And this is where it gets really interesting, I think. This idea that peak performance isn't just about the clock, it's about managing your internal resources.
Exactly. The big insight, especially from books like The Power of Full Engagement, is that you don't really manage time. You manage energy.
Energy.
Yeah. Yeah. And they break it down into four key types that need active management and renewal. There's physical energy, sleep, diet, exercise, the basics. Emotional energy, your mood, the quality of your interactions. Mental energy focus, creativity, and then spiritual energy.
Physical, emotional, yeah. Mental, those make intuitive sense. But spiritual energy, how is that different from emotional? Doesn't that feel a bit abstract for managing your workday?
It can seem that way, but it's actually crucial. Think of it as the highest level, the one that gives context to the others. Emotional energy might be about feeling positive in the moment.
Okay.
Spiritual energy in this context is about feeling aligned with your deeper values, your sense of purpose in what you're doing. If your work constantly clashes with what you believe is important, that creates this deep, quiet drain no matter how much you sleep.
Okay, so managing it means actively connecting with your why, scheduling time for that reflection.
Exactly. It's more of a values alignment check than just a mood check. And the key action across the board here is building rituals.
Rituals, not just hoping you'll recharge.
Right. Consistent, proactive habits specifically designed to renew these four energy sources. That's what stops burnout and keeps you focused. It's not about waiting for your annual vacation. It's daily or weekly renewal.
And this connects straight back to Stephen Covey's stuff, right? The quadrant two idea.
Yeah.
Important but not urgent tasks.
Absolutely. A perfect link. Those quadrant two tasks, when you apply them to energy, they become your big rocks.
Big rocks. Love that analogy.
Yeah, these are the activities that directly feed your energy and growth. Things like exercise, yes, but also deep reflection, planning how you'll use your strength next week, maybe focused skill development.
Yeah, the point is, if you don't schedule those first.
The urgent stuff, the emails, the meetings, the pebbles and sand, they just fill up all the space. There's no room left for renewal.
So actually putting those energy rituals, your big rocks, into your calendar first, that's the real secret sauce of high-performance time management.
It's the foundation. You block out time for renewal first. It shifts you from being reactive, always putting out fires, to being proactively regenerative. You're designing your capacity, not just reacting to demands.
Okay, we've got the engine strengths, we've got the fuel energy, but what about the road itself? Most people still picture a career like this, straight ladder, right?
Like,
linear, upwards.
Yeah, that old model.
But books like Designing Your Life really push back on that. They say, treat your career like a design project, something adaptable, iterative.
That's the third big pillar we synthesized. Career development as prototyping and experimentation. It's like how an engineer tackles a new problem.
Okay.
You move away from making these huge, potentially life-altering bets based purely on theory, like, you know, spending a fortune on a degree for a field you've never actually tried working in.
Right. Instead, you build small experiments, low-risk ways to test things out.
Exactly. You prototype, you test, you reflect, you iterate. You don't just jump, you experiment. Maybe you take on one new type of task at your current job, or volunteer for a specific project, or just do a series of really focused informational interviews.
Small bets to get real data.
Small bets, low-risk activities designed to answer specific questions you have about whether something is a good fit for you. And this idea, this non-linear experimental approach, it really is a common thread across almost all the sources we looked at.
And thinking this way is really boosted by computational thinking, isn't it? Which sounds techie, but it's actually broader.
It's super relevant. People hear computational thinking and think coding, but it's really about problem solving. It's about breaking down complexity.
How so?
It lets you look at all your different experiences, even the ones that seem totally unrelated, and use skills like abstraction, decomposition, pattern matching.
Okay, hold on. Abstraction. How does that work practically? Say I was a teacher for 10 years. What am I abstracting there?
Great question. You decompose teacher. You abstract the underlying skills, not the job title. So it's not I taught history. It's I manage complex stakeholder relationships, parents, admin students. Or I translate complex information into understandable formats. Or I design and deliver engaging presentations.
Oh, I see.
Once you abstract those core abilities, suddenly you see how they apply elsewhere. Project management, maybe technical writing, corporate training, roles you might never have considered based on the job title alone.
That makes career changes feel much less like starting from scratch.
Yeah.
You realize you're this bundle of transferable skills, not just one fixed job title.
Exactly. It builds resilience. That's the kind of adaptable mindset championed in books like The Squiggly Career. It turns that scary uncertainty into, well, curiosity.
Replaces the anxiety with exploration. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so to help people really visualize this whole journey from figuring yourself out to trying things out, Maybe we quickly touch on some specific tools these books suggest for that self-discovery piece.
Yeah, definitely. There are some great practical tools. What color is your parachute? For example, uses the flower diagram. It looks a bit intense at first glance, maybe, but it really forces you to map everything out, not just skills, but who you like working with, what kind of environment helps you thrive, even what salary and values matter most, is a really holistic picture of your ideal work situation.
And designing your life has some more dynamic tools, right?
Yeah.
More about tracking things in real time.
Exactly. They champion the good time journal. Basically, you just jot down activities during your day, noting when you feel energized or drained, specifically looking for those moments of flow.
So you spot patterns.
Yeah, patterns emerge about what actually engages you. And they also use Odyssey plans. This is where you sketch out three totally different possible five-year plans for your life and career.
Three different versions.
Yeah, forces you to think outside the box, explore radically different futures without needing to commit to one right away.
And then for folks who pretty happy where they are but want to make it better, there's designing your work life, focusing on job crafting.
Right. That's all about applying these strength ideas within your current role. How can you actively reshape your existing tasks, your relationships at work, even just your mindset about your job?
So, like, if you realize communication is a strength, you try to take on the internal newsletter instead of that report you hate.
Precisely. You negotiate. Maybe you automate or delegate that tedious task to free up time for something that uses your strengths. It's about molding the job you have into a better fit.
Okay, so while these books share core ideas like strengths and prototyping, this is where we start to see some differences, some divergences in their focus.
Yeah, definitely. Some, like Go Put Your Strengths or Designing Your Work Life, are really zeroed in on the workplace. How do you apply this stuff right now in your current job? They're very practical for immediate improvement.
Got it. Improving where you are.
Whereas others, like Parachute or Designing Your Life, take a maybe broader view. More about overall life design, finding meaning. They might lead you towards a bigger pivot if your current situation just isn't alignable.
Okay. And then you have books like The Squiggly Career.
Right. They seem more focused on the mindset needed for today's world. Adaptability, resilience in the face of constant change. Less of a step-by-step how-to guide, maybe, and more of a guiding philosophy. It's a different flavor from the very structured approaches of, say, Covey or Bowles.
But pulling it all together, the conclusion seems really powerful. You combine knowing and using your strengths, like with Saijian's, deliberately managing and renewing your energy, scheduling those big rocks, and adopting that design thinking mindset, prototyping, experimenting.
Yeah, when you weave those threads together, you create the system for sustainable growth, genuine career satisfaction. It becomes adaptive, regenerative, and ultimately high-performing.
And the practical takeaways that come out of this synthesis, they feel really actionable. They help turn that vague feeling of, ugh, my career, into something concrete you can work on.
Totally. They move you from anxiety to hypotheses you can actually test.
So give us those key strategies, the synthesized takeaways. What should people listening do?
Okay, first, stop wrestling with vague problems. Reframe them. Turn I feel stuck into a specific design challenge. Like, how might I prototype adding a new responsibility that uses my strategic thinking strength for, say, 5 hours a week? Then ask, what's the lowest risk way to test that idea?
Make it specific, make it testable. Got it.
Second, prototype those new experiences with small, low-risk actions. Schedule those coffee chats, take that cheap online course, volunteer for that short-term project. Small bets beat big leaps into the unknown.
Makes sense. Don't bet the farm.
Third, use job crafting. Actively redesign your tasks, relationships, and mindset in your current job. Focus on playing to your strengths, your Saijian's, and this absolutely includes finding ways to delegate or collaborate on tasks that drain you, free up that energy.
Be proactive within your existing role.
And finally, and this is crucial, build and maintain habits and routines for using your strengths and for renewing your energy. Schedule it, reflect regularly, adjust as needed. This whole integrated approach falls apart without consistent regenerative habits.
That brings us right back around, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Back to maybe the most profound, practical insight from all these sources. Schedule the important, non-urgent stuff first. Those big rocks for renewal and focus.
Absolutely. This integrated approach, it needs that regular reflection, that constant adjustment. Because things change. The market changes. You change. Your values might evolve.
So if you've done the work, if you've done some self-discovery, the real question isn't just, what do I know?
Right. It's, what am I going to do with what I know? And how am I going to sustain the energy to keep doing it? So the final thought for you is, what's the very first big rock ritual you're going to put in your calendar this week? That 30 minutes for reflection, that walk, that hour blocked off to deliberately practice a core strength. How will you turn knowledge into energy?
Schedule that big rock. Start your first prototype. That's your deep dive homework.